From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Dwayne Cruz reports in the Daily Freeman that rising COVID-19 case counts and the emergence of the Omicron variant led Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan to declare a state of emergency on November 28th. The declaration will speed efforts in Ulster County to get testing supplies for local schools, businesses, and families, bolster available public health and medical staff resources, and, if necessary, to redeploy the workforce to support testing, contact tracing, and vaccination efforts. Ryan said in the release, and I quote, "With COVID cases and hospitalizations surging and the emergence of a new and potentially more dangerous variant, we must step up our efforts to ensure the health and safety of all our residents," end quote. He added, and I quote, "Informed by real-time data and the advice of our team of public health experts, this emergency order is an important step to allow the county to respond rapidly and effectively in order to combat the virus," end quote. Active cases of COVID-19 have tripled in Ulster County in November. On November 26, Governor Kathy Hochul signed an executive order so hospitals can postpone elective hospital surgeries where they are at or below 10% of available staffed bed capacity. Coronavirus case counts in the Hudson Valley were already rapidly returning to last winter's levels before the news of the Omicron variant was announced on Thanksgiving. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Chris Bragg is reporting in the Times Union. Governor Kathy Hochul, November 24th, issued a press release stating she was signing a bill amending New York's legislative redistricting process. Republicans and conservatives cited the bill signing as an example of Hochul favoring a Democratic takeover of the redistricting process. Conservatives immediately responded with U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, the presumptive Republican nominee for governor in 2022, saying that, and I quote, "Despite the people of New York voting a resounding no earlier this month on a constitutional amendment that would have allowed legislative majorities to redistrict, Kathy Hochul circumvented New York voters by signing into law legislation to do just that," end quote. However, Jeffrey M. Weiss, a redistricting expert and adjunct professor at New York Law School, said the change simply clarifies a 2014 constitutional amendment that was passed by voters and which is governing a brand new redistricting process this year. For the first time, district lines are to be drawn by a 10-member bipartisan commission and not necessarily by the majority parties in the state legislature. But the 2014 constitutional amendment, Weiss said, was unclear about what would happen if the 10 members gridlocked and failed to take any vote on proposed lines. The 10-person commission now faces a January deadline to come to a consensus on a proposed plan, an outcome that's far from certain. In her message announcing the new law, Hochul wrote that the Democrat-sponsored bill served to clarify an oversight in the 2014 constitutional amendment. But if the commission deadlocks and cannot get at least 7 votes in favor of a plan, line drawing would fall to state lawmakers. For the first time in decades, Democrats control both houses of the legislature as well as the governor's office. As a result, lines drawn by a Democratic legislature could further imperil the Republican Party in New York. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Porcupine Soup that volunteers from Community Action and Matthew 25 Food Pantry in Catskill fed approximately 250 families this Thanksgiving. Matthew 25 founder Patty Duchesne purchased 100 turkeys from Hannaford for her Thanksgiving baskets this year. Those baskets were distributed from the food pantry on November 20th. The baskets came with the ingredients for families to cook a Thanksgiving meal, including gravy, green beans, cream of mushroom soup, fried onions, potatoes, and rolls. Duchesne said, and I quote, "I have the best volunteers. I couldn't do without them," end quote. Duchesne said employees from Athens Generating Company helped package the baskets, and Creekside Catskill donated the potatoes. Executive Director Florence Ohl said Community Action's Thanksgiving dinners were mobile for the second year, with dinners being delivered along 18 routes throughout the county. The meals were prepared by volunteers, including some students from Columbia Green Community College at the Catskill Elks Lodge. The dinners included turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, gravy, and apple or pumpkin pie. Ohl said, and I quote, "It's really a nice meal, and people are very appreciative," end quote. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Friends of Taconic State Park has received permission from the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation to build a small railroad track at the Copaig Iron Works National Heritage Area site in Taconic State Park. Jim Mackin, president of the Friends Group, said the old abandoned ironworks facility established in 1845 is located within the park. In 2007, that site and 18 acres surrounding it were added to the State and National Register of Historic Sites. Mackin said Friends of Taconic State Park repurposed the blast furnace and took remnants of the old facility to create a museum and a visitor center. Mackin said, and I quote, "We finally realized, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could recreate some of the railroad story that was there," end quote. The train will hold 15 passengers and take them through the historic site on a 900-foot-long loop track. Mackin said, and I quote, "We're building the cars that will hold the tourists, which will look like ore cars that carried the iron ore. They're kind of trapezoidal in style, so people will sit in those as they ride and we talk about the history there," end quote. The group has raised $174,000 through private donors and is looking to raise a total of $366,400 for the project. Mackin said, and I quote, "If everything goes well, we will have railroad ties and the actual rail itself ordered and delivered. And then as soon as we can in the spring, we'll start putting the ties down and the rails on top of it," end quote. After the track is complete, they will put the locomotive, which is currently being stored in a nearby barn, on the track. The project is expected to be finished next summer, and the train will operate from 2 to 4 p.m. on weekends and holidays from mid-May to mid-November. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.